Nintendo brags about how many classic games they've sold on the Wii, and, well, I would have written a longer intro, but I was too busy playing Forza 2. All that in your live calls and chat comments on the Bobby Blackwell Show week of June 3rd, 2007. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in about this, Matt.
And it's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb Katamari, that game.
Bobby Blackwell back at Dragon Con 2005.
I am here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch.
DC Nate and everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype, you just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwell.
I need to put a new coat of paint on this, put some more vinyl decals on. Oh! Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you are listening to us live on All Games Radio, yes, that's right, All Games Radio is actually working this week. First time in 2 weeks, woohoo! You can join us live in our chat room, chat.allgames.com. Don't pay attention to the people watching the MTV Movie Awards. They need to have their eyes gouged out. But luckily, this is radio. So a little bit later on, we are going to open up our Skype line and our toll-free number. Our Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show, all one word. And our toll-free number in the United States and Canada is 1-866-880-0156. If you are listening to us on the podcast, you can either leave us a voicemail on that Skype line or email me, blackwolf@allgames.com, and you can also leave a thread on, or leave a response on our forum thread for this show, and we've got both an email and a forum response to read tonight. And I do want to thank Kropotkin and Hendrix for providing their bi-weekly audio game review this week. It was Ratchet and Clank for the PlayStation Portable, the PSP. Remember that system? It's one guy in the UK and one guy in the US giving their honest opinion and a few jokes about a different game each week. We premiere it just before this show goes live, or you can download it as a podcast feed on our website, allgames.com. And that link, and many others that we are discussing tonight, are going to be on bobbyblackwolfshow.com. And, you know, I did say, like, for months that I wasn't going to get Forza 2 because I didn't like the tuning aspect. I didn't like the fact that you had to be a car mechanic. And then, you know, people bought it on Wednesday and, you know, played it a lot and posted pictures, and people were playing it a lot on Thursday, and I'm a weak man. I am weak, and Friday afternoon, after I was done with all my work stuff, I went over and I picked up Forza 2. And I haven't really stopped playing it since. Thankfully, this is a slow news week, so I didn't have to do too much research leading into tonight's show. But Forza 2, it is a very hardcore sim racer, but we have such a great community here at All Games, and the community of people that I've been playing with, it hasn't, you know, like the tuning aspects, like the fact that I don't know what gear ratios are and really don't have the inclination to learn, you know, about, you know, PSIs and tires and whatever the crap everybody talks about, it doesn't really come into play. And it is, you know, it's a little bit more hardcore than, you know, Project Gotham Racing, but it's just as fun. And, you know, there's damage modeling and replays and painting. Yes, because you can actually paint your car. And you could do this in Forza 1, but they've actually really expanded the decal interface. You can have like 1,000 layers on each side of the car. So you can do some amazing stuff. I know like ChrisPhil1724 in our chat room has been doing like anime-themed stuff. And, you know, there's been some really good ones. I've seen Aqua Teen Hunger Force cars and stuff. I've got the Banhammer, which is not a very flashy paint job. It didn't take me too long, but it strikes fear in the heart of anybody that sees it. And if you go to Bobby Blackwolf Show, or not Bobby Blackwolf Show, bobbyblackwolf.com/Forza, you can see pictures of the Banhammer, and you will respect and fear the Banhammer as it comes crushing by. Because if you hit the Banhammer, I ban you from our site. What we've done, though, in over here with the community over at All Games is the way that we've made it kind of fair in playing online, which, by the way, you can play ranked matches with your friends, which is really cool. You can actually get like true skill points and stuff with your friends. We've got a kind of a different setup going, because most times if you play online in these games, people will always have like the fastest cars. And if you don't have like the fastest car, S-class, U-class, whatever, you're going to be left behind, and it's no fun. We've got a set of rules, and you know, if you want to try, you know, kind of an even rule set, it's good for new players to try. This is pretty good if you want to try, you know, doing a game night to these specs. These are the car specs that we're running. This is actually Hendrix and FM Looter and Yama 86 came up with these specs, and we've kind of all been running with this. And if you want to play with us, then you know you need to get these specs because this is what we run when we play online. So for a car, you can buy a bunch of different types of cars, and you know, customize them, put in new parts. Which is different from tuning. But upgrading the cars, you can buy like street or sport or racing versions of all the parts and stuff. So to upgrade your car to get it to work in our class, here's kind of what we want if you want to play online. And this is actually pretty good if you are not used to playing a hardcore sim racer. These make the cars feel the most like Project Gotham. So get a front-wheel drive car. You know, pretty much all front-wheel drive cars will work. Not a rear-wheel drive, not an all-wheel drive. Most of the cars are rear-wheel drive, but front-wheel drive actually works well for this. For the engine, you need to have a maximum of 250 horsepower. You can go much higher if you want, but 250 horsepower, that's kind of the limit on that. You know, anything in the 240 or 250 range. For the platform and handling, you want to get like full racing brakes and suspension and like anti-roll bars and stuff, but a sport transmission. Don't get a racing transmission, but get like the racing clutch and racing flywheel and driveline and all that stuff. For the tire, get street tires. And, you know, you can have them as wide as you want for the width. As long as it stays in the B-class, because here's the thing is that you want the performance index to be somewhere between 500 and 600. So B-class car, pretty much. And, you know, paint it up to be something cool. You know, don't forget that you need like a Forza front and rear wing. These are the rules that we run here at All Games. And the Forza spoiler and stuff, which is really huge, it helps handling a lot, but it makes it look more racy. And we need to have that to have more racy. Make all the cars look like race cars. So, you know, if you build a car to those specs and it's in the B-class, you've got an All Games accepted car. And pretty much everybody's even, you know, with slight differences. Like some cars are better on the straightaway, some cars are better turning. But it's pretty even, and, you know, basically just becomes to who's the best driver and stuff. So we actually have a bunch of us that have been playing. I haven't seen anybody playing Shadowrun, which is the other game that came out this week. You know, that game that everybody said was going to be the greatest first-person shooter ever, and I said that they were killing it. Well, they released it opposite Forza 2, and nobody's playing Shadowrun on my friends list. Maybe like one or two people are, but everybody else is playing Forza 2 with us. And you should, too. Fifth Dream says he wants a Miri Hanai car. You know, he doesn't have the Forza 2 or a 360, but he wants one of those car. Hostile 1 asks, if we beat you in a race, will you pass the Banhammer to the winner? No. Sorry. What up, GS? Has Bobby tried out the 3 TV setup? I do not have... See, what he's asking is that Forza 1, this was a hidden feature in Forza 1, but in Forza 2, it's right there. You can have a 3 TV setup, so you could see, you know, to the right and to the left of you, or you can, I think, have one as a rearview mirror, so you can have 2 TVs, one as your rearview. Unfortunately, you need 3 Xbox 360s and 3 copies of Forza for this to work. So, no, I haven't tried that because I don't have 3 360s or 3 Forzas. Bloodshot says, don't forget to tell them they must have the Forza branded rear wing or they can't race with us, and that's right, you gotta have the Forza rear wing. And, you know, the other thing is, don't be a douche when you're racing. You know, this, you know, accidents happen. We play with full simulation. You know, we turn on all the crashes. Nobody ghosts out or anything. So if you sit in the center of the road, you are going to have people crash into you or crash into walls, swerving to get out of your way. Yeah. You know, don't be a jerk. Don't try to take somebody out on the first corner if you want to come join us. But hey, come on over to allgames.com, go into the Microsoft forum. There's a big All Games Forza 2 touring setup and stuff, and we have pictures like that. Mei Satsuma says you can have up to 5 TVs in Forza 2, which would kind of make sense. I don't know what would be on the 5th TV, but yeah, if you have that many Xbox 360s and that many copies of Forza, go for it. Interlogic says, wait, don't take someone out on the first corner, then he's going to have issues. So One other thing that I, you know, that kind of staying on the Forza 2 topic here, it looks like they have in-game advertising in Forza 2, and I was mentioning this to the guys today as we were racing through, and I don't know if the games are, the ads are served up over Xbox Live or if they're actually in the game, but one of the ads looks like a banner ad in the sense that it has like little tiny text on the side of it. There's like a whole bunch of words on it, and you're going by it at like 100 miles per hour. It's like sitting on a bridge is where I always see it, a bridge that you pass under. Do they not get it or something? Did they not understand that, you know, the people who are in this game are racing by at 100 miles per hour and don't have time to read all the text that you put on your banner ad? You know, so I don't know if they're, you know, if the ads are served from Xbox Live or if they're actually in the game, but they fit. I mean, it fits in with the... With the way that the game is laid out, you know, they're on the side. You don't see it on like the load screen or anything. But the game is still $60. You know, I kind of wish that they would lower the price of the games if they were gonna serve ads in it. Oh yeah, and the New York track is very fun. There's a track in New York, like New York City, with extremely tight corners. Those are always fun. That's where like all the best crash pictures take. Speaking of pictures, you can take pictures in Forza 2. And you can upload them to ForzaMotorsport.net, up to 4, and then you have to grab them and then put them on your own hosting service, and then you can share those pictures. But you can't save them directly to like a USB memory stick, or you can't send them to a media center PC, or, you know, a PC connected to your network. Rob with 2Bs actually wrote in about this. He says, you know, why do we have to frickin' upload our images to a special website just to share them? I've got an idea. USB, memory cards, messages. I think I know the answer to all those, and it starts with the Project Gotham Racing Engine. I don't know if they used the PGR engine to make this game, but the graphics, sounds, photo mode, and Forza TV all look ripped from Project Gotham 3. If you remember, Project Gotham photo sharing was added in an update. In order to watermark the images, they allowed you to send them to an official site, and then only 4 of them. That's exactly how Forza does it. You'd think they would have fixed that problem with newer software. It really just makes sharing images a lot more painful than simple email or a USB memory stick. And that brings me to my final point, which is that game systems are still not up to PC technology when user-created content isn't easy to make and share. So what I wrote back to him is, you know, I was going to go check because I have Adblock installed on my Firefox because I'm a mean person, but I was going to go check to see if ForzaMotorsport.net had ads, and the site was down about an hour ago when I was trying to, or I couldn't get to it. So what I'm thinking is that it's to drive people to the website. It's not a technical issue. It's more a marketing thing. They're driving people to the website so they could serve up more ads, and they can sell ad space on ForzaMotorsport.net. And, you know, the way to do that is to have content on there, like your pictures, that you have to go there to go get your photos. I don't think it's a technical issue, because I think the programmers would have loved to have done that. I think that, you know, the developer, you know, the actual hardcore developers that, like, sit in the cubicles and code what the designers say, they probably would have said, you know, oh, it's simple, just, you know, put it on the USB memory stick and, you know, there you go, or we can just send it an email, blah, blah, blah. And I think somebody above them said, no, we have to drive traffic to our website because that will get us hits and more ad views so people can buy ads in both the game and the website. Woohoo! That, you know, I don't know if it might maybe a limitation in the Xbox 360 hardware, even though I know that Forza is being done by Microsoft Game Studios, but, you know, you can't transfer anything to a USB device over on your Xbox 360. You can't rip music to an MP3 device. You can read it from an MP3 device, but you can't save to it. You can't save to an external hard drive. You can't put save games on any external, you know, thumb drive or anything like that. So it may not actually be in the 360's API to save that type of stuff to a PC-readable drive, you know, something that's formatted to NTFS, the file system, or something. That may be something that's just a limitation in the 360's hardware, but they are Microsoft, and they can always add that in. Hyperion says, as far as I remember, no ads on the official site. So maybe there's no ads there, but maybe they're, you know, they've got to be driving traffic there for some reason, trying to get people to come to ForzaMotorsport.net. I don't know why. And another email that I got, or actually this was a forum comment, and this has absolutely nothing to do with Forza 2, but people are more than welcome to call in about Forza 2 a little bit later on. We're going to move on from Forza 2, and I want to go back and play it and make more cars. and paint more cars and be cool, like the Banhammer. So this one came from Jose on our forums, and he says, "Hi, I am new to All Games Forum, but I've been listener for quite a while. Actually, I felt the need to post my thoughts about the Mario Strikers impressions I heard in your program. In my opinion, the British guy, that was Kropotkin, has played Mario Strikers very, very little. The Super Strike does not unbalance the game at all, because it is really hard to do against 99% of the people online or any AI other than easy. Actually, the Mega Strike feels more like a punishment for not doing your job. This game does not have that random feeling. There is nothing like the blue shell in Mario Kart. When I play online against unknown people, it takes me 10 seconds to figure out the other guy's skills, and I can accurately guess who is going to win, usually the other guy. The only problem I find with the game is that the sidekick special movements are sometimes abused online, with people repeating over and over again the same technique up to the point that the game feels broken if you are not skilled enough to beat those attacks. The game is balanced and very fun. Check any Mario Strikers thread on any UK forum, and you will see no complaints about the Mega Strikes. I'm sorry for my bad English," and this is actually the coolest quote here. "Sorry for my bad English. I am just a Spanish guy who listens to your program because it is great and helps me to learn English. I really enjoy your show. Thanks for being there, Jose." Well, thank you very much for your comment, and I take that as a big compliment. Gracias. And I'd say more in Spanish, but I forgot most of it, and Pluto. I don't want to sound dumb because I'd pronounce something wrong. I'd say Anos instead of Años, and then everybody would laugh. So, yeah, that's the Mario Strikers. We actually had Kropotkin on last week talking about his impressions of the game and his impressions of the Wii's online. It was pretty much not good in terms of online, but Wii's are still selling, so it doesn't look like that's been a big problem. But something else that has been selling on the Wii in terms of online has been Virtual Console titles. Now, a press release from Nintendo has stated that since going online on November 19th, owners of Nintendo's hot Wii video game system have downloaded more than 4.7 million classic games from the Virtual Console. That's a rate of more than 1,000 games every hour since launch. The top five classic games downloaded globally to date are you ready for this? Are you sitting down? Super Mario Brothers is number one. Super Mario 64 is number 2. Mario Kart 64 is 3. Super Mario World is 4. And Mario meets The Legend of Zelda is 5, actually. No Mario, just Zelda. But if they had Paper Mario 64 up there, I bet it would have been 5. Maybe. The upcoming edition of Zelda 2 The Adventure of Link on June 4th marks the 100th classic game available on the Wii Shop channel. And so this is Nintendo's online strategy, pretty much. According to Nintendo of America Senior Vice President of Marketing and Corporate Communications, George Harrison, this is what he said in his press release, quote, "With an internet connection rate reaching 40%, Wii owners have more options than ever to find the games kind of games they love to play. Beyond the Wii Shop channel, all types of people are getting connected and checking out the information and entertainment options available in the Wii menu, whether voting, creating a Mii, or just checking the weather. Everyone has a favorite channel," unquote. I know a lot of people in our chat room and our audience would probably say, yeah, where's the game playing channel? We would like to play online. Which I don't think is a big deal for Nintendo. I think they're going to do just fine with the limited online that they're doing. It, you know, they don't really get it, but they're trying to do it in a safe way. And I don't see them falling just because they don't have online multiplayer. Because like I said, the majority of the world really doesn't care about playing games online. And Bandit asks, you know, how much money is that, the 4.7 million downloads? I don't know. I didn't do the math, especially since, like, all the titles are priced differently, anywhere from 500 to 1,000. So I don't know how much money that is, but that's a lot of money for a bunch of ROMs. Also, something that came out that was in the Wiimote this week, Wii Fanboy reports that a recent CNN technology feature details some of the various chips and components found within the $40 Wiimote. And it's actually neat. It's like a little flash app if you go over to CNN Money. And you can actually like click on things and it tells you like where they were made, what they're used for, and all that stuff. Well, among the Bluetooth converters and accelerometers, the component listed as an audio translator, which converts analog data such as human speech into a digital data stream. This feature is unused now. It will probably be employed in future games. The approximate cost is listed at $2. Now, two games for the Wii, which are both karaoke titles, High School Musical and Boogie, both use a mic. But I wonder if this means that, you know, the mics can be cheap because that chip is already in the Wiimote. It can just be like a regular mic. you know, $5 or $10 mic, and then the brains of the mic pretty much will actually be in the Wiimote. So this may be a good thing for consumers in terms of, you know, the mics will be cheap that are produced for the Wii because the expensive part of it is already in the Wiimote. So two more stories, and then I've got a question from chat that I do want to get to. Going back to Xbox 360, this Wednesday on Xbox Live Arcade, this past Wednesday actually, a game called Mad Tracks from D3 Publishing. Very smart of them to release a racing Xbox Live Arcade game on the same day as a racing main Xbox 360 game. That's probably why I haven't played Mad Tracks all that much, but there's a bug anyway in it. Xbox IC reports that over the past few months, there's been a lot of news regarding the recently released Xbox Live Arcade game, Mad Tracks. While such news as the game would include online multiplayer was great, this news isn't that great. There appears to be a glitch, not a glitch 720, just a glitch, when unlocking races and minigames if you bought the full game via the trial version. But fear not, the problem will be fixed very soon. The problems were discovered over the Xbox.com forums and occur if you download the trial version of Mad Tracks and then go and buy the full version. Even if you meet the requirements to unlock races or minigames, you can't play them and are told that they aren't available in the demo of the game. However, the good news is that this issue is being fixed and quickly. In fact, Mad Tracks developer Slybin has confirmed on the Xbox IC forum that the patch for Mad Tracks is finished and is in the hands of the almighty Microsoft. The only thing to do now is to wait for it to be released or to play a game other than the profile that you downloaded it on. So essentially, if you're bought Mad Tracks after playing the demo once on that profile, then, you know, like most people should, you know, play the demo and then see if you really want to spend the $10 on it. You can't get any farther in the game. Boo, whoever was in charge of making that glitch happen. And then one last news story, because I love GameTap, and, you know, this is some pretty good news for GameTap, although it might not be up my alley. Gamma Sutra reports that GameTap has officially announced it will be publishing Grimm, with two M's, a 24-episode fractured fairy tale action-adventure series from Alice and Bad Day LA creator American McGee, following an earlier report via McGee's weblog. GameTap says that Grimm will be a story-driven action-adventure game featuring a compelling collection of vividly drawn characters inhabiting a world built around twisted takes on the best-known tales in Western fiction. Promising a sandbox world in which players will take on missions in episodic fashion starting in 2008, GameTap says the title will feature traditional adventure game exploration and questing and a fighting mechanic that it says is based on the notion that words are weapons. The game is being developed by McGee's American-owned and Shanghai-headquartered studio Spicy Horse, specializing in what it calls boutique games for the PC and next-gen console markets. GameTap content vice president Ricardo Sanchez said, quote, American McGee is one of the best-known and most dynamic developers in the industry today, and Grimm is the perfect fit with our GameTap Originals brand. American is really exploring the potential of episodic game development. Adding this exciting new title to our list of already successful episodic game titles shows our commitment to this proven format, unquote. Sam and Max did episodic right, and I think that hopefully other people are kind of picking up that, you know, you gotta, to do episodic content, you've gotta be able to release them on a consistent basis quickly. Don't, you know, Half-Life episode 1 and 2, that's not episodic. That's a 6-hour game that they're releasing every 2 years. You know, that's not episodic. But a couple hours a month, that's perfect in terms of episodic content. And I think it's great that people that, you know, Sam and Max show that it can be done. It's great that GameTap is actually encouraging those type of games to be done. And I think GameTap's a really good service to do it. So a couple chat questions going back to some of our older stuff. And then we're going to take our little break and then take some calls. Eric asks, do you think that there will be any original games on the Wii Virtual Console instead of classics that developers are making new titles and bring them to the Virtual Console, something like the 360 consoles have? The literal snarky answer is they will not come to the Wii Virtual Console, period. But Nintendo and some other developers have already stated that, yes, they are going to have original content available on the Wii Shop channel. It's not going to be called the Virtual Console. It's just going to be a separate game channel. And actually a remake of Impossible Mission. You know, another visitor, stay a while, stay forever. That is coming out on the Wii Shop channel. And it's going to be a new game, pretty much. I mean, it's based on this old game that I remember playing on my Commodore 64. But it's a new game, and it's going to be sold in the Shop channel as downloadable content. But it's not going to be like a Virtual Console title. So, yes, it's coming. No, not to the virtual console. It's coming to a different portion of the Wii Shop channel. Confused? And then I think it was Giant Enemy Spanny was asking me earlier about the Guitar Hero 3 videos, and I actually completely forgot about this, so thank you very much for reminding me. New Guitar Hero 3 videos were released this week. I think like IGN has some and all that stuff, and it shows the new controller, and thankfully, you don't have to buy a new controller. Thankfully. Well, you may later, but not for Guitar Hero 3. The new controller, basically, it looks exactly the same. It's laid out exactly the same. The buttons are black instead of the color, and the outline is the color, but it looks like the same color. Apparently, you can take the neck off of these new controllers, supposedly for easier transport, but they're talking about interchangeable necks, like you could get a new neck for the guitar or something. So eventually, you may have to buy one of these guitars. But thankfully, you won't have to at the beginning, and that's pretty good. The game interface has changed a lot because I didn't realize that, you know, it makes sense. Harmonix, who developed Guitar Hero 1 and 2, did not hand over the source code. So Guitar Hero 3 has been completely coded from the ground up from scratch. So it's a brand new game engine, which kind of scares me because there were some very nice improvements between Guitar Hero 1 and 2, which may or may not be in Guitar Hero 3, like the, you know, whole lag correction for high-definition televisions and stuff like that. So it's being built from the ground up, so they had to change some of the user interface elements, like star power is now displayed differently, your combo meter is displayed differently, and all that stuff. So you want to go check those out, because it looks kind of like the same game, but there are some noticeable changes, and the timing's off, from what I understand, which is why the person playing the game was really playing it poorly, because when you change the timing of one of these games, it throws people off. So that's something really to kind of look out for is, you know, that it's a new game. It's not an upgrade of the previous game. They coded it from scratch. I'm going to take a very quick music break, and then we are going to take some calls about all this stuff that we've been talking about tonight. Bobby Blockwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. This music will not be on the podcast because we're too cheap. You're listening to the Bobby Blockwell Show on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another Kropotkin and Hendrix game review.
Whoa, whoa, what are you doing? What are you doing?
We're doing a review.
No, we're not. People are listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show, not us, you and I, that is, talking about some game or something. What are you thinking?
We could review the Bobby Blackwell Show.
Do you think that's really a good idea? Do you?
It might have Transformers in it.
Oh, that's it.
I'll take that as a no then.
No.
Fine. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on All Games Radio.
That's right. Here we are, Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. Welcome back. If you want to leave a bumper just like that, just call our Skype line. Bobby Blackwell Show, say your name and whatever, and you're back to the Bobby Blackwell Show. Stuff like that. You know the drill. I did get a bumper this week from somebody. Thank you very much. I just didn't have the chance to actually put it in this week. But you can also send me an MP3 at blackwolf@allgames.com if you want. And What Up G, I think, was the one telling me, you know, hey, you don't see anybody talking about the other controllers, the 360 controller and the PS3 controller, and doing a feature on how much the components inside them cost. It basically shows that the controller, you know, the controller's overpriced is what he's saying. And, you know, I should go look and see if somebody's dissected the 360 controller. I'm sure someone has. It may not have been CNN money, but, you know, a lot of people are saying, you know, and I probably do agree that, you know, $40 for a controller is a little bit too much for any controller. And, you know, especially the six axis being like $50 and stuff. So we do have a caller on the line. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, Bobby Blackwolf, it's Curtis.
Hey, you are really low, man.
Pretty good. About that virtual console with PlayStation 3 been released last year, where the heads of Sony have a feature where you can download the old PlayStation 1 and PlayStation 2 games, just like the Nintendo Wii, where you download the old Nintendo games.
By the way, this is Curtis. He's really low, so I'm working on the thing here. You can download PlayStation 1 games onto the PlayStation 3.
Oh, okay. And last one about PSP. Would it support any web cameras? Just like the iToy?
I think the PSP is having a camera come soon.
Okay, what's the name of the camera?
I don't know. I don't have one.
Okay, would the camera be able to take pictures anywhere with higher resolution or just lower resolution, like the iToy?
I don't know the specs of the camera. You could probably go to Google and find out. I don't have them on hand, and I don't have the chance to go out and look for them.
Okay. That's what I need to talk to you about.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Thanks. Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156. And please, if you're using Skype to call in, Echo123 is the name of it's a voicemail service, but it plays back your voice, and you can check your connection with that, and that would be good to do. And Bloodshot says the PSP camera is 1.0 megapixel, which is about the same as like a cell phone camera. I know the camera on my cell phone is 1.3 megapixel. Most cameras like that you can buy, like the Canon cameras, the digital cameras are like 6 megapixel, something like that. Some are a lot more. I think mine's like only a 6 megapixel one. So it's a small quality camera that's on the PSP. Now, Bloodshot says he's taken apart a 360 controller, or 360 controller. Der. Xbox 360 controller. And I bet you would find that the parts in that are also only, you know, a couple bucks and stuff. It's all in the assembly, and it's in the design and stuff. And, you know, I'm not trying to defend the high price of the Wiimote or any of the controllers, but, you know, it just because the parts only cost, what, you know, so much doesn't mean that's all it costs. Like, when I build a PC for somebody, I actually do, you know, jack up the price for my time. You know, yeah, you're right. You know, the motherboard may be, you know, this much money, and this, you know, the memory will be cost this much, and, you know, you may have all the parts priced out, but I'm going to want a little bit of money for the couple hours I'm going to spend building it, because unless you're a good friend, and then I don't do that. But if you're just a random person, I charge for that. And what if she says, you know, I'd be willing to pay $20 for a Wiimote. Continuing on the Wiimote thread, GK120 says Nintendo's profit margin isn't as nice as $30, or even as nice at $20. You know, that is the thing. All these companies are out there to make money, and Nintendo right now is the only one actually making money. Microsoft's game division hasn't made money, except Halo 3 is expected to actually bring them to make money, and Sony's game division hasn't made money with the PS3 yet. These companies are in it to make money. They're not in it for the good of the heart, out of the good of their hearts or anything like that. They're in it to make money. One thing is that I've noticed that some people are really taking offense to the Shadowrun comments that I was talking about, and actually FM Looter wrote the thread about the Shadowrun stuff. And I think it's kind of been proven, you know, how many people kind of aren't playing it. I mean, granted, there's more people playing Shadowrun than there are playing Halo 2 Vista, according to Interlogic. Like, I think, like, 36 people are playing Halo 2 Vista right now at this very moment. I think that, you know, it's just, they put it up against such insurmountable odds, Shadowrun, and, you know, it's really sad because everybody's saying it's a pretty good game. But, unfortunately, they haven't, they're putting it up against people that, you know, are against, like, Forza 2 or Halo 3 and stuff like that. So we do have a call on the line here. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
This is Pastel in chat.
Hey, man, what's on your mind?
I was just thinking about, with, like, Forza 2 and Halo 3 and some other games like Tiger Woods that are coming out that are using these, where you get to save your games and replay them, save them, the video of them, and replaying them to, you know, your friends and stuff.
Yeah.
You think that's going to be something that's going to start taking over all of the games, and you're going to get flooded on your friends lists with everybody that wants to say, ooh, look at this great kill I had, look at this headshot?
Well, one thing about Forza 2 in particular, because I'm not in the Halo 3 beta, so I mean, I know it's got like that whole machinima feature type thing, but Forza 2, you cannot share replays with other people.
Really?
Yeah, you cannot share them online. what, you know, if we wanted to share a replay, we'd have to, you know, have Chris Phil 1724 in our chat room in the game, and he saves the replay on his Xbox, and he actually has capture equipment, and then he can capture it and put it on the web. But you can't save replays, you can't save, you can't send replays, and you can't send photos. It's not like Burnout, where you can share the photo with other people. You can share put the photo up on the website that you can get to, and then you have to pull off the picture and then share it that way. So I think the replays are the same way. You can show it to other people in your house, but you can't send them to other people. Probably to combat spam like that.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Because I remember when Burnout came out and people were like, oh, check out this photo I just put up.
Yeah, all the time.
And well, it's because they put an achievement to have, like, if you, like, in Burnout, and I didn't like this.
Be
in the top 20. Yeah, you have to be in the top 20 most downloaded photos, and you got 65 gamer points. So all the achievement whores were like, come look at my photo, come look at my photo. Which I'm going to start doing, but I'm not going to use messages. I'm going to just tell people in on this show, because I want an easy 65 achievement points, too.
Awesome.
So what's else?
One other question.
Yeah.
Odin Sphere. I know you have said before that you liked Kingdom Hearts and Kingdom Hearts 2.
Right.
And I've heard it compared to that. Have you had a chance to check out that game?
I have not had a chance to check it out at all. But I will.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Thanks for your call, man.
All right.
Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-866-880-0156 if you want to call in. And people are still talking about the controller stuff. What up, G? You know, kind of continuing on the Wiimotes. You know, who here likes it when companies abuse downloadable content? Nintendo can make money off $20 Wiimotes. It's the abuse and greed that I don't like. You know, and it's, I mean, to me, it's just business. I mean, you know, you pay people to design the unit, you pay people to put it together. Granted, they're probably, you know, Chinese sweatshops, but, you know, they pay them something, I think. You know, so it's not just the hardware that's in there, it's the stuff to put it together and the design of actually creating it in the first place, the R&D. Hitstun says that he gets Burnout spam and he doesn't even have Burnout. And he also says he hasn't seen anything in Odin Sphere other than the cutscenes. I'll have to check that out and see what's up. Gamefly, here I come. What up, G says, just because you can take advantage of people doesn't mean you should. And he also says that he did take a course in college that taught business ethics. And, you know, he guesses that's an oxymoron. And, you know, some downloadable content I didn't like. You know, like, I'm not a fan of horse armor, but we do have the Knights of the Nine expansion, for instance, you know, and we have the Shivering Isles expansion for Oblivion. We don't have the horse armor, but we have the stuff that we feel is worth the money. I don't think that the song packs, the pricing of the song packs in Guitar Hero 2, I think that's a little bit too high. Although, you know, the other part of me understands that probably the music industry is getting most of that money and not the Guitar Hero 2 developers. So it's stuff like that. But, you know, I have no problem with people getting paid for work. And I guess that's kind of the thing that maybe I'm a little different than most people is that, you know, yeah, I know that, you know, the parts in this, in my cell phone probably only cost, you know, a couple bucks or whatever. But, you know, I know that somebody had to design it, and I know somebody had to actually put it together and design the manufacturing process to put it together. I used to work on the back-end database stuff of manufacturing companies and stuff. So I actually kind of know the whole process from the whole life cycle is what they actually called it, the product life cycle, from, you know, conception to being built. It's not just about how much the component in there costs. And I guess that's just because I have a perspective that not many people have, and I know it's an unpopular perspective. The Rob D, you know, now downloadable content, the Rob D points out, is the stuff that was on Dance Dance Revolution. They released downloadable content, which unlocked things that were already on the disc. I think that's dumb. I think that's stupid. And I don't like seeing, like, downloadable content in the 360 version of something that was actually on the PlayStation 2 version or whatever. You know, I've seen that, like, with EA, where they've got content that's there on the PS2 version, but you have to buy it separate, and it's already on the disc. Anything on the 360, here's a good way to check to see if it's already on the disc before you put the money down. If the download size is 108K in the Xbox 360 marketplace, I would say don't buy it, because it's stuff that's already on the disc that's being unlocked for you. Anything that's 108K, then you should not buy it at all. Anything that's over 108K, it's pretty good chance that it's not already on the disc, and it is actual new content. And, you know, Hostile One says, you know, obviously people think that downloadable content is worth it if they have paid for it, you know. And sometimes if it just enhances enjoyment, it could be for pay, even if it doesn't affect gameplay, especially like in the case of Horse Armor. You know, and that's the thing. People have bought the downloadable content. I've bought a song pack. I apologize. You know, I bought one of the song packs, not all three. You know, so I'm, you know, kind of part of the problem. But, you know, people have probably paid for the cheats. The cheat codes and like the EA games that get them farther in the story. I do like the fact that Crackdown's cheat mode was a free download. I think that's kind of cool. Flavia says, did I miss the talk about the Spider-Man 3 Collector's Edition for PlayStation 3, including being able to be Goblin Jr., something that was included standard with the other earlier editions? I didn't actually know about that, and we weren't talking about that. We were just talking about like downloadable content in general here in the chat room. You know, but I mean, I've seen that happen where, you know, they'll make an extended edition for, you know, one platform, and it includes stuff that's in the other platforms and a coin or something. And everybody now is calling me sheep and part of the problem because I downloaded a Guitar Hero song pack. I'm sorry! How can I repent? I've got a Banhammer car. BobbyBlackwolf.com/Forza. And What Up G says, you know, pretty much everybody has their own opinion as to what is of value and what is something of worth. Is Halo 3 for $129, is that of worth? I don't think so. But somebody who really must have everything Halo probably does. You know, what's one person's value is someone else's junk. And Mr. Hunt, first name Mike, says, I thought you were cool, Bobby. I feel so bad now. I wish I could sell my song pack. Eric asks, you know, VGA or component? Talking about, like, cables, hookups. He says, the reason that I'm asking is because I have for my 360 the VGA cable and the component cables, and his Westinghouse LCD monitor has both VGA and component. Which one do you think will look better? VGA. Definitely. VGA is a digital signal, or digital-ish, and component is not. So it'll look better. I think it would look better, a lot better, on VGA. And that goes with anything. Like, if you have a Dreamcast, get the VGA cables for that. It looks much better than it does on S-Video, even though S-Video looks really good for Dreamcast. Hostile One asked, you know, would you buy a Kingdom Hearts pack for $130 if it came with a big-ass Kingdom Key? No. I'm not that much into those big, huge things. I've bought collector's editions before of things, but only if they're $10 and only if it's really something I care about. You know, I won't buy every collector's edition just because it's a collector's edition. I'm not a collector. I play the games. Hyperion says, VGA is still analog, but the color reproduction is much better, which is why I said it was digital-ish, kind of. Like, you can actually get, like, 1080p movies or something over VGA, because it's not component, I guess, the whole high-def spec or whatever. And What Up G, since we're talking, we're getting really onto Kingdom Hearts here for some reason. Kingdom Hearts 3, what do I think it'll be for? It really depends. Ask me after I know if what's Final Fantasy 13 is doing, because that kind of means a lot. If you had asked me a year ago, I said it would have been PS3. But now that Square is kind of spreading the love and has already hinted that, you know, 360 is getting Final Fantasy 13, even though they haven't come out and said it yet, it really depends on what happens. And, you know, who knows? You know, maybe there will be an announcement at Tokyo Game Show. So anyway, that is all that I'm going to inflict on you guys this week. We will be back next week, next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, here on All Games Radio at allgames.com. Join us and enjoy the show directly. Next week is episode number 99. We're heading really, really close to episode 100. That's a lot of weeks in a row. Feel free to leave a voicemail with us on any topic, or just leave a bumper for use on our show on our Skype line, Bobby Blackwolf Show. You can also email your thoughts and opinions to me at blackwolf@allgames.com, or you can join our official forums at allgames.com to take part in our community and join our thread and join our Forza 2 Touring League with our Class B cars, and you too can get passed by the Banhammer. I'll be on the inside, passing you on the inside. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. DC Nate, GK128, Hendrix, The Rob D, Blackboy, Broodwitch, Burning Paper Sun, Burr, Chrisville 1724, D5T, Drunk Pandas, Fifth Dream, Ichiban, Jack Ransom, Mako, Nekoban, Refi, Stone Raider, The Matrix, THK, Toshin, Eric, Alt, Amaze, Satsuma, Anti-Drone, Ash Fox, Binjin, Bloodshot, Cedabria, Derek H, DJ Dark Knight, Drew Nami, Exquimelion, Flavius, FM Looter, The Banhammer Slayer. I'm going to ban you, FM Looter. Funny Dale, Giant Enemy Spanny, Gibbs, Hitstun, Hostile One, Hyperion, Inner Logic, Island Fellow, Johnny Five, Just Insane, Kazan, Mart XC, Maximilian, Mecha, Mike Hunt, OSU Fan, Seymour Booty, Snack, Spike Spiegel, Subzy, Sunbun, TDB30, Tedekin, Tiger Claw, VXJCNXV, What Up G, Wilcon, and Willy White Wolf. That's interesting. So, that's it. Thank you for calling in, Curtis and Hostile One. Hopefully we will see you guys next week. You're on the show. Don't watch the MTV Movie Awards. It'll rot your brain. Come play Forza 2.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.